You're listening to Alive 90.5. This is Point of View with Aparna, and I have the pleasure of welcoming not one, not two, but three women into the studio. One of them will be quiet throughout, but she'll, as always, she'll be a wonderful, wonderful assistant to Shakti Durga. And just to remind you, in case you didn't tune into our previous programs a few months ago, where Shakti Durga was here, and we introduced her to the audience. And so just to recap, former lawyer turned healer, spiritual teacher and sacred musician, Shakti Durga has been practicing and teaching energy healing for over 20 years. She's the author of 5 books and 3 inspirational card decks and has numerous meditation and chant CDs, which are available through her website. Or you can pay me and I can mail them out to you. However, I'll charge double. As a master healer, Shakti Durga has trained hundreds of healers and helped thousands of people to overcome acute and chronic problems, whether it's health problems, releasing the heavy burdens associated with trauma, relationship or family breakdowns, or helping people to build the energy of their business. Shakti Durga is remarkably effective at promoting deep and lasting change for those who seek it. We invite her into the studio, welcome her into the studio to talk about spiritual well-being playing a role in depression prevention, pranic healing on cells subjected to radiation, pranic distance healing, the work of Dr. Emoto, the effects of gratitude, a high energetic vibrational state. Shakti Durga, welcome to the studio. So let's get started. What are we talking about first?
Well, I guess...
types of healing.
Yeah, this energy healing that we do, we combine it with a number of different things. So counselling comes in and also shamanic healing. So Australian Aboriginals, you know, most of the people of the pre-Christian era all over the world had ways of doing healing that was very natural to them and relied upon their connection to the infinite. And they weren't afraid to just bring that energy in. We'd call it the Holy Spirit, and to help people with that energy. So that's what we do. And we work with people in accordance with their belief systems. And it's beautiful work. It's very gentle and very loving. But I guess my sore back is an issue in point. So years ago, when I used to be a lawyer, I used to look after a lot of people who went to court who had injured backs and injured body from motor vehicle accidents or work accidents.
Compensation.
That's right. I used to do that sort of thing.
Or as the Aussies say, compo, mate.
Compo. That's right. Those were the days. But anyway, I don't do that work anymore. But I now help people get over those sorts of injuries. Mm-hmm. And so I hurt a disc in my back through all of this, and had tingles in my feet and numbness and all that radiating pain down the leg and all that sort of thing. It's not yet 3 weeks since that happened. And between having probably 3 to 4 healings a week and chiropractic care, my back is substantially better. Like, it's really, unless I twist the wrong way, I can't feel it. So compared to what most people go through, I think I've taken 2 Nurofen in the whole time. So the pain relief one can experience through energy healing is quite dramatic, I would say. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just so grateful that I stumbled upon this kind of work years ago.
Fantastic. Yeah. So going back to the original question, so the types of healing that are there, that are known to us at the present moment, if we don't look at the, especially the ancient Indian style or the Ayurveda, if we don't go down that path. So what is known to the modern world? How many types of healing are we looking at?
Well, if you look at just the Western medical model, you're looking at general medicine and surgery, I suppose, as being the main two. And look, I'm a big proponent of those things, and I utilize those methods of healing. Why wouldn't you? But I also am just so interested in all the other things that are available nowadays. I learned Reiki many years ago, and another thing called pranic healing, which is, they're both different styles of energy healing. One, you put your hands on the person's body. Pranic healing, you don't put your hands on the person's body. You work in their field. Both of these are very, very good and wonderful healing modalities. And from there, there's been a plethora of developments of specific kinds of healing for specific kinds of problems.
Okay, so if we were to ask a difference between what is the origin of pranic healing?
Pranic healing was developed by my former teacher, whose name was Chokwok Sui, marvelous man. He lived in the Philippines. He was a Filipino-Chinese. And from a very young age, he was fascinated with spirituality and healing. And when he was an adult, he went around the world and studied with all different kinds of healers. And he put together modern pranic healing, which is sort of like a synthesis of the essence of what all those shaman and light workers and faith healers around the world have actually been doing. So that was my foundation, and I taught pranic healing for a number of years before I branched out into my own and came up with IYS healing, which is Ignite Your Spirit healing.
Right, yeah. Because pranic is based on pran. Pran is a Sanskrit word, which means the very life itself.
That's right, the energy, because the thing about when we're not well, it doesn't matter what sort of treatment we get, our body has to actually heal itself. Nothing external is going to heal it, so that what we can do is give it the best circumstances through which it can heal. So whether that's surgery or a chemical intervention, or whether it's a transmission of energy, such as in Reiki or Ignite Your Spirit therapy, which is what we do, it's all designed to optimize the prana in the body, because it's the prana itself within the body that creates the healing. And so, you know, very often I'll see people and they've had surgery and the surgery was successful, but they don't have very much prana in their body because they're so depleted, and it takes them a very long time to recover from the healing, you know, from the surgery. And what we found is that if we give healing to people before they have surgery and again afterwards, the rates of, recovery are just so incredibly different to what they are if you don't do the energetic component as well.
I was reading up on that, and from 50% it went up to 88%.
Yeah, well, I've got this very interesting study that some of your listeners might be interested in, because
please share.
I think that it's nice when we can find scientific proof of things, you know, particularly new things. So there was a doctor called Joey Jones in America, and he was the professor of radiology sciences at the University of California. And he did 520 experiments over a 10-year period using millions of cells in petri dishes. And what he did was he irradiated the cells in the petri dishes, and he had a control group, and he had a group that received energy healing. And the methodology was pranic healing, which is a no-touch modality. So the healers would give a healing to the cells, and basically, in the control group where there was no healing, 50% of the cells in the petri dish would die when they were subjected to radiation. So when you think about people having cancer, this is pretty important information. If they received a healing after the radiation, the survival rate of the cells went from 50 to 70%. That's a huge jump. That's 20%.
Indeed.
And then if you did a healing before the radiation, it went up to 80% survival for the cells. If you did before and after the radiation, so same amount of radiation has been given to the cells, that the survival rate for the cells was 88%, which is just huge. What a difference to 50% with no energy healing. Then a really interesting thing happened. And that was, and this is a bit off the topic, but I think it's fascinating. So anyone who is spiritually inclined or has a religious background will understand that what goes around comes around. You know, in the East they call it the law of karma, and in the West they call it, you know, you'll reap as you sow. It's the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So what the scientists did was they got the healer to make a karmic gift. So the karmic gift was that they gave money to a charity. Mm-hmm. Then they prayed to the divine and said, I want the benefit of the karmic grace that I just earned by giving that gift. I want that to go to the cells in the petri dish. So then they did a healing before, a healing after, and made a karmic gift. And the survival rate of the cells rose to 96%. I mean, that is a miracle.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. So, you know, I really feel that this is the sort of information, wouldn't it be wonderful if people knew, because, you know, you just have to try it for yourself to see how incredibly different you feel when old, stale, stuck energy is released from your body, you know.
Mm-hmm. But don't they at the same time say that there are certain things that cannot be explained.
Definitely.
And no matter how much a person or an entire race or a generation tries, it is impossible.
Yes, I agree.
To explain certain things, and especially anything to do with the divine or the divine intervention, for that matter.
That's true.
It cannot be explained. Then why are people looking for scientific evidence? Because science does not have the answers.
It doesn't have the
to
answers.
The divine.
It doesn't at all. But I thought that this was a wonderful effort on behalf of these people to get some scientific validation for what healers and people of faith already know, that this energetic intervention works. I mean, we know that already. And I guess when you've got faith, you don't need any proof. And then if you don't have faith, it doesn't matter how much proof is there. You still won't believe it, will you? You know, if you don't have faith in something, you're not going to believe in it.
Yes.
So it's just the way of the world. However, I think that just the discussion, just us talking about this today, because imagine if you're at home and, you know, it's been annoying for me and having this sore back for a few weeks and it's, you know, it's interfered with some of the things I would have liked to do. But imagine if you've got a really bad problem and that you've been incapacitated for a long time. And then not only do you feel bad from the pain, but you also start to feel depressed and anxious because you just can't do your old life again. And I think it's a snowballing effect for people who've been injured. And
and the smallest little thing in your daily routine then starts becoming a huge frustration, then leading into anger, then leading into depression as well, because you can go either way.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a serious problem, and I'm not for a moment saying that I think energy healing's got all the answers. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that for a substantial number of people, it's got substantial answers. You know, I think that it will help more people than it won't. It's a natural thing that there's no downside to it. There's no risks. It's not like it's got side effects. So, you know, releasing all of that negativity you've been carrying around for years can only be a good thing, and leads us to have more energy and to feel better about ourselves. And sometimes I've found that even if someone cannot physically heal from a condition because it's already so advanced that it wouldn't matter what you did, that person just can't recover because it's too bad, but they can still learn to feel better. They can still lose the depression. They can still come into a place where life is wholesome for them, where they can feel good about themselves, and that they can sort of find a new way of having meaning in their life. So, you know, and it gives me such joy to help people like that.
Definitely. So what is the difference between belief and faith?
Well, for me, faith is a power that the universe runs on, and a belief is something you do with your mind. So
then where does hope feature?
Well, I think hope is a very strong, for me, it's a power of the soul, that, you know, there's a certain strength of the soul required to hold on to hope in a very dark situation. And I do believe that it comes from not just in our mind but beyond our mind. So people might say their heart if they're more secularly inclined, you know, it's a quality of heart. So for me, I think that belief is something that we decide we are going to accept as true. And many things, a society or a culture will decide, well, that's true. But then over time, those beliefs will change. So an example is the way that women were expected to have their traditional roles. You know, that's an example of the belief system is, well, women should just stay home and look after children, and they shouldn't work, and they shouldn't have the right to own their own property or any of these things. That's the belief system. Mm. And then over time, the belief can change. So for me, that's it's arriving from the mind, but also reinforced by the fact that possibly many other people believe the same thing, and so then it becomes a societal belief, and those are very strong. Overcoming the negativity of a societal belief does take a while. You know, relating it to energy healing, when I first started trying energy healing, it wasn't because I believed in it. In fact, I thought it was all a bit frou-frou. You know, I thought it was all a bit for weird people. And because I was a sensible, educated lawyer, I really wasn't sure about it all. But I'd had bronchitis for 6 months, and that's a long time to have bronchitis. And I was quite, you know, ouch, incapacitated by it. It was costing me a lot of money. You know, I was losing money by not being able to be in court as often as I wanted to. And so a friend said, well, why don't you go and try energy healing? You've tried everything else. You've been on every medication known to man. Just go and try that. So I went along to a lady in Balmain where I was living at the time, and she gave me a healing, and she's waving her hands around the air, and I thought, how's this possibly going to help me? And but then, you know what, a day or two later, I was perfectly well, and I did feel something that I didn't understand during the healing. I felt, I don't know, it was hard to describe at the time, but now I know I felt energy moving, and it just was an accumulation of a lot of grief and sadness that had built up in my lungs, and the healer was able to move it, and I was recovered. So I was so excited about it, but at the same time, I thought, how did that happen? That couldn't have happened. Surely that didn't happen. And so it was tempting, because my belief system didn't include that. And so it was tempting for me to go, you know what? I'm going to pretend that didn't happen because it's too challenging. Mm-hmm. And so I had to actually change my paradigm. And it's a paradigm shift that, you know, it's a paradigm shift to think, well, women could actually, you know, become the premier of the state of New South Wales. That's a paradigm shift from 100 years ago. Similarly, you know, that you can have an energetic healing is a paradigm shift in our culture. So, yeah, people are catching on to these things out of necessity, and someone will say to someone, well, I tried this and it worked, and then people are going. And that's why there's so many people going to these types of healers, because it works. Now, so I'm not saying that every healer is the best. You have to be discerning, but you know, you had to be discerning as to what lawyer to go to as well. You know, there's really good ones and there's mediocre ones. And it's the same in any profession. So you always try and go to the best, is my advice, to try these things.
How do you find a good healer? What are the telltale signs? Is it what's written on the board outside, or the various?
I think just to speak to people who've had healings with the person, or look at their track record, look at what kind of testimonials are available as to their work. Usually healers will have a website, or they'll have a bit of literature available wherever they are, saying, you know, I treat this, this and this, and here's some examples of the sort of work, and statements and testimonials from people is a good way. But I also think you can have a gut feeling about it. You know, you can sort of go, oh, I don't know, I don't like the feeling of that. That person doesn't gel with me. Well, my advice is follow your gut feeling, mm-hmm. and just feel with your heart. You know, feel, okay, this feels good. I'm going to try this. And don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to ring the healer back later if something happens that you weren't expecting, or you feel an odd sensation. Ring the healer back and say, hey, what's going on? What's this? Because often the healer can just adjust something over the phone, or, you know, just send some other energy to them, and they'll feel fabulous in no time at all. So, yeah.
Okay, so in the beginning when we started talking, we were talking about types of healing. Which ones are the ones that you sort of say no one can say that you've mastered, or one has mastered something? We are all students till the day we die.
Yes.
So which ones would you say are the ones that really are the most appealing for you and with you, and you find, and you find your energy working the best?
Yeah. Well, as a practitioner, I practice Ignite Your Spirit healing. Mm-hmm. Ignite Your Spirit healing is a mixture of pranic healing style of energy healing with spiritual counseling. And the spiritual counseling always respects the person's philosophy and faith. So it will be Christian, which was my first religion, was Christian. So Christian counseling for Christians. You see what I mean? If someone's an agnostic or an atheist, well, we just use humanistic sort of language. And then shamanic. It's hard to describe what shamanic healing is, but it's a connection to the natural world that's very profound, and which is everybody's capable of it. It's something where you start to feel into the natural world around you, and that there's meaning in everything, and that everything's connected, and that there's a beautiful web of energy that connects every living thing, and that we can learn to tune into that. And it will teach us, it will help us, it will guide us. And so I'm very excited about that kind of work, you know, because we don't have to live in isolation. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to feel like we don't belong or we don't fit in. We can overcome those things when we remember that we're part of this huge living system, which is called life on earth, all of which I believe, as my matter of faith, I'm just talking from my faith, it's all, you know, the divine flows through everything and it's the divine's creation. And of course, you can't create anything without your own energy going into it. If you make a cake, you know, your energy goes into the cake.
Where is the cake?
Sorry, I forgot to bring the cake. But anyway, so I think when the divine created things, the divine's energy went into everything and we can learn to connect to that. And there's a lot of healing energy in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the things that I've, probably, you know, I teach these things and people send me their hard cases sometimes. So there are some people who would call me a master of energy healing. And but you know, there's other things that I go and have when I'm unwell. So as well as energy healing, I'll have chiropractic care, or as well as energy healing, I will have Bowen therapy, which is a form of energy healing, or I will have Chinese herbs or acupuncture or laser treatment. You know, for my back, you know, the you can get, they have a cold laser and they put it on your back and it stimulates the mitochondria in your cells so that it creates more energy and changes the way your back is responding. So there's so many incredible things out there. And I think that for anyone who is suffering with their health or their well-being, you know, try and think a bit outside the square. And get second opinions and go and try different things, because until you've tried it, how can you say, well, that doesn't work? How can you really know it doesn't work unless you try it? When there's something reputable, you know, when there's other people who say, well, I've tried it and I think it was amazing. And
you like know, they say, it doesn't matter if it's 21 million or 580 million, doesn't matter what the lottery is. If you're in it,
that's right. That's
to
right.
Win it. You have
That's
to be
exactly.
in it to win it.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
Yeah. And, of course, I use mainstream medicine as well. So I'll use medications or go to the doctor when I feel like I need to. I think it all goes together in a very harmonious flow.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering if you could share with us in a bit more detail where it says align with your higher self, ignite your spirit. I was wondering if, so you're saying it is going in the second round of publication or third?
This will be about the fifth edition. Yeah, there's been over 10,000 copies of that book sell in Australia.
Okay.
And also it's sold a couple of thousand copies in England. And I think there was a German copy of that book as well years ago. And yeah, it's called Ignite Your Spirit and Align with Your Higher Self. And that's what it does, because we do, all of us, have this incredible resource that's inside of us called our higher soul, and we can learn to get in contact with that. And when we do, life just seems to have more meaning, more joy. You feel more connected to other people. Life's just better when you connect with your higher soul. And so when you have energy healing, a lot of the things that block us from the experience of divine and the experience of soul are dissolved. And, you know, I've spoken to people who've been on a spiritual path or a religious path for, say, 20, 30, 40 years, and they say to me, I've never experienced the divine. And I say to them, that's terrible. That's awful, you know, because that's a common experience when you work with this living spirit, you feel the divine a lot, and it gets richer and richer over time, and the love and the joy and the sense of fulfillment, it all just keeps growing. And so to me, that is part of the assessment too, as to whether or not what you're doing is a good thing or not, is do you feel that there is a growing peacefulness within you? Do you feel that you're growing in love and kindness? And do you feel that slowly your life is turning from self-serving to helping others? These are all the wholesome kinds of tests that you can, you know, Jesus once said, reported in the Bible, that you know a tree by its fruit. And so what kind of tree is that? Oh, is it a poisonous tree? Is it a whatever it is? Try the fruit and then you'll know. And so I think that when we utilize these different traditions, and we utilize the different skills of healings, the fruit is the results we get and the way we feel and the way it opens our consciousness to new things that we've never been able to experience before.
Mm. Mm. What do you, so you've recently, you've been traveling.
Mm.
What stood out for you? 2017, oh. Almost the end of the year.
Yeah, gosh.
What stood out for you?
Well, I've been in Canada and America where I was teaching, and what stood out for me was how adversity can bring people together. So 2 days after the shooting in Las Vegas, I was in Las Vegas, and it was a pre-planned that I'd be there. So, of course, my husband and I did a big healing on, you know, on everything in sight, and we did a healing meditation and sent love to everyone affected. And if everybody did that, imagine how much more quickly people would be able to cope and get through the shock and the terrible grief that those who've lost their loved ones are going to go through. So for me, the adversity there was I was stunned by the spirit in Las Vegas when I was there. You could feel it palpably as a quality of energy of we're all going to stand next to each other and help each other. We're going to get involved, and we're not going to let people just try and fix it by themselves. It was really heartwarming to be in that environment. For me in America, I felt how wonderful it was that people are talking about a whole range of things that they haven't spoken of for a long time. There's a lot of people that are disagreeing with each other over there. But I feel that a lot of simmering resentments have been there for a long time. And in any healing modality, you've got to get that out. The stuff that's simmering beneath the surface that people don't want to acknowledge or talk about becomes a disease process in a way. Physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually,
well, it's blocking the free flow of the energy.
That's exactly right. So it's healthy that these things are coming out and people are speaking to each other. And, you know, I think that there is an enlivening effect of that. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. In fact, one of the things that really struck me was it doesn't matter if you're left wing or right wing, or you're black or you're white, or you're whatever religion you are. What matters is the quality of our love. That's really what matters, the quality of our love and caring for each other. And I saw very conservative people who I stayed with in one town who were so loving. And I saw some quite, radical kind of people that I was with in another place, and they were very loving. And it's just, you know, if we can get them together to talk to each other at the vibration of love, we can create miracles in our culture. That's what I think.
Or influence a president in America to actually pass a bill so that no one can amass ammunition and guns at that scale.
Yes. Well, there's while we were there, there was a lot of people.
Can we organize some healing for that?
Well, we did some healing for that. And what's more, a lot of other people were doing it as well all over America. And for the first time in history, the NRA itself, which is the National Rifle Association I've probably got that wrong, but it's the gun organization in America. They were saying that they wanted to ban the devices through which you could take your rifle and turn it into an assault weapon. Hmm. And make it into an automatic rifle. So they were talking about that they would support that be limited. And so, you know, there's a very interesting, I just found it very interesting being there. And I love the United States of America. I've got many friends there. I go there regularly. And, they're just very wonderful people. Just like the people in Australia are very wonderful people, you know. It's a very multicultural place like Australia is. And sometimes those people who've lived in an area all their life and who it might have been one way when you're growing up and then it all changes and suddenly there's all these people from all these different backgrounds moving into your area. But what an opportunity that is, you know, what an opportunity for cross-pollination of ideas and for the growth of a new culture, something we've never seen before, something that takes the best of everyone's culture and creates something amazing, and that we can still also have our own individual culture as well. So I feel like the opportunity for people to get to know each other, to suspend their initial judgments about each other, and to be able to move through their belief systems that they might have inherited to a new way of holding energy and consciousness. Because at the end of the day, really, what else is there except energy and consciousness? That's all there is. And so when we do healing on that level, everything changes and we can set ourselves free to be the people we always wanted to be.
And brings me back to the comment I made the last time we met. We need to start as early as school. Why do we have to wait for something to go terribly wrong? Or why can't we set the machine on the right tracks in the first place?
Yeah, that's true.
Why wait for something to go wrong?
Indeed. Yeah, I agree. And children relate to energetic work very well because they're naturally attuned to spirituality, particularly little kids. You know, up till the time they can talk, my belief is that children are more attuned to the spiritual world than they are to the physical world, and that somehow learning to speak brings their focus and attention into the physical world, and that they go through another change when they between 2 and 3 where their ego really starts to develop, you know, about that time, and they become, you know, terrible 2s, terrible 3s, whatever it is, and you know, there's these different changes that they go through, but they are such they don't have the blocking beliefs. You know, if you decide I am not being healed, I don't care what you do to me, I'm not receiving a healing, I'm not going to let it in, then any decent energy healer would never force a healing on anybody. They would respect the person utterly. So, of course, the healing just would not work. But children, they don't have any of that. Neither do animals, by the way. That's a bit of an aside. But animals, you know, I had a friend whose elderly beloved dog, who was kind of like her surrogate child, had a lot of arthritis in the hips and back, and the dog was in a lot of pain. So she started doing energy healing on the dog, and the dog's quality of life improved dramatically. The animals don't block it, you know, neither do small children.
Because they don't analyze it, they don't question it.
No, they don't. They just...
the moment you overanalyze something or even analyze it to the extent where it brings a doubt to your mind, that process has sealed its fate already. Mm. It's not going to get very far.
Yeah.
See, I am smart.
You're smart.
Let's take a quick sponsorship break, folks. We'll be right back with Shakti Durga